Good afternoon, 4:30 and 30 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
If you're going to be part of a gang and you're going to commit crimes to facilitate and grow that gang, that there ought to be enhanced penalties for that.
State Representative Robert Benvenuti's bill to get tough with gang violence in Kentucky clears a Senate committee today.
A Flatwoods man is charged with attempted murder following a shooting late Monday.
And a West Liberty firm fined for illegal dumping declares bankruptcy.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team now knows its opponent for the NIT tournament.
But Luke has the business news.
Scattered showers tonight, lows of around 25 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 47-year-old Flatwoods man is held in the Greenup County Detention Center on attempted murder charges following a shooting Monday night on Reed Street. WSAZ is reporting that Brian Hutchinson was taken into custody after a man was shot in the face with a .357 caliber handgun. Police tell the Huntington station the victim is hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. The incident is said to have taken place shortly before midnight.
A West Liberty man who is responsible for a crash that killed a physician back in December has been indicted by a Menifee County grand jury. The Moorhead News reports David Tate was indicted February 23rd for murder and driving under the influence. According to police, Tate crossed the center line of Kentucky 36 near Craig Hill in Menifee County on December 23rd, hitting 45-year-old Dreema Rucker's vehicle head-on. Rucker was pronounced dead at the scene. She was a physician at St. Clair Regional Medical Center for more than 14 years. Officials say because of Tate's current medical condition, he has not yet been arrested.
State Representative Jim DuPlessis says Kentucky needs to be a lot tougher on people who are convicted of DUI for a second time. The Hardin County Republican is the sponsor of a bill that would restrict motorists to just one first DUI offense. Now, current Kentucky law allows someone who has DUI convictions more than 10 years apart to have each violation treated as a first offense. DuPlessis says that does not send a strong enough message.
If you're serious about not making that mistake again, you won't forget it. But if Kentucky law says, well, your next offense is a slap on the wrist, it's easier to forget that. So what we're saying is a second offense, and again, law enforcement officials will tell you that it's the repeat offender is not the guy that's 20 years later that's the problem.
DuPlessis' bill was endorsed today by the Senate Judiciary Committee.
A bill intended to crack down on gangs in Kentucky and increase penalties for adults who recruit children to join gangs and commit crimes has cleared the Senate Judiciary Committee. The panel today approved the measure sponsored by State Representative Robert Benvenuti of Lexington. Republican State Senator Allison Forgy of Allison Forgy Care of Lexington is among those who voted for the bill.
I want the word to go out loud and clear with this bill that gangs are not welcome in Kentucky. No longer do we have outdated laws pertaining to this. And yes, you will be of violent offender status, even as a misdemeanant, when you try to go in and attack and recruit our babies and our young people.
The bill sets minimum sentencing requirements for certain misdemeanors committed by criminal gang members. That is, if the accused is found, quote, beyond a reasonable doubt, unquote, to have been a gang member when the crime occurred. Gang members convicted of a felony that endangered public safety would have to serve at least 85% of their sentence, though there would be some expectations for juveniles.
A business owner and his two firms that were fined millions of dollars after being accused of illegally dumping low-level nuclear waste have all filed for bankruptcy in federal court. News outlets report that Advanced Tenorm Services, LLC, BES, LLC, and Corey David Hoskins, all of West Liberty, filed separate voluntary petitions for Chapter 7 bankruptcy on Friday. Hoskins owns Advanced Tenorm through BES, LLC. Advanced Tenorm and Hoskins were each fined $2.6 million by the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services in November after officials said Advanced Tenorm was responsible for dumping out-of-state radioactive waste in landfills in Estill and Greenup counties. Officials say the waste was a byproduct of fracking and had been transported from Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania in 2015.
Kentucky's Republican governor says he will not veto a bill that would lift the state's decades-old ban on nuclear power. Matt Bevin told WKRC Radio in Cincinnati he supports the proposal because it, quote, opens possibilities to us. Bevin says he does not think nuclear power would replace coal as the state's dominant source of energy. Just 3 years ago, coal-fired power plants provided 93% of the state's electricity. Today, that has fallen to 83%, according to the Kentucky Coal Association. Older plants are being shut down and replaced by natural gas. Bevin says he knows of no plans to build a nuclear power plant in Kentucky, adding, quote, it is hard to predict the future.
The chief executive officer of a company that is training laid-off coal miners for high-tech jobs in software development and coding says his firm is in it for the long haul. Ankar Gopal is with Interapt. He says the inaugural class of 30 is just wrapping up its training, and a new class will likely be seated this summer. Gopal spoke Monday during a forum in Paintsville.
I've never, ever done more important work than this, and I want to continue to do it, and I'm here to confirm and reiterate Interapt's commitment to doing this again. We're going to do another training cohort. We're going to hire and get people into the skills they need to, and we want to open applications for the next cohort starting very soon, hopefully by this summer.
A former Google executive and ex-head of technical training for the U.S. government also spoke during the program at the Big Sandy Community and Technical College. Megan Smith says there are thousands of well-paying jobs available for people with the right technological skills. She says many companies are having trouble filling such positions.
Congressman Hal Rogers says Eastern Kentucky has been exporting the talents of its young people for too long. The Somerset Republican was among those who participated in a discussion Monday about the region's economic future.
Simply because we had nothing here to employ them, to enable them to stay here, raise their family here. That's going to change. We're going to seize the opportunity that we have. We don't need to export our talent anymore.
Rogers told those attending the forum at the Big Sandy Community and Technical College he and Governor Bevin continue working to make sure the region gets the cable and wiring it needs for broadband access. With that infrastructure in place, Rogers says, business will invest in eastern Kentucky and employ the people who live there.
When it comes to its graduation rate over the past 4 years, Rowan County is tied with Carter County for 15th best in Kentucky. Both districts handed out diplomas to 98.2% of their students. That figure is nearly 10 points better than the statewide average. Rowan Senior High School Principal Ray Ginter says that's one of many things his facility is proud of, along with its improved scores on state achievement tests.
We went from 128th to 66th in 1 year. That's why we're a distinguished school. We're scored in several different groups, achievement, the gap, growth, college and career ready, and graduation rate. So graduation rate is just one point of what we needed to get an overall score that we got that made us distinguished this year.
Ginter says one student who dropped out last year cost Rowan a chance to tie the Paris Independent School District with a perfect graduation rate of 100%. School districts in Breathitt, Johnson, Morgan, and Montgomery counties were among the bottom 15 in graduation rates for the last 4 years.
According to Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins, the county will receive $202,000 in flex funds from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet in the next year. However, like last year, he notes Rowan is not slated to get any discretionary funds from the cabinet. Blevins says the county's plan is to apply for that money, but it can't do that until all of its flex funds are spent on road improvement projects, which are still being completed.
The winter came in, and we weren't able to lay some blacktop early in the winter. And, of course, if the blacktop plant was on, we could have done it the last couple of weeks. We could have late finished that up. But they usually don't open up for that type of period. We'll have to wait probably into April or May, and they'll open up. And then hopefully we'll finish up the what they call the flex dollars, and then we'll hopefully try to get that discretionary dollar.
According to Blevins, the county will also see some resurfacing work happen on McBrayer Road, along with slip repairs, cribbing, and guardrail efforts on Kentucky 3318.
Alcohol sales may soon be permitted at public events in the city of Moorhead. Tony Pence is executive director of Downtown Moorhead. He introduced the idea to city council last night. Current state law allows for the city to permit alcohol at specific public events. Pence says this could lead to a diverse array of new events in Moorhead.
Now, we had, you know, here the Rock and Blues and Barbecue Festival for several years, and we've had others, the Clack Mountain Festival, something along the roots, Americana, that type of a thing, where you could have craft beers and wine, local wineries, that kind of thing.
Several council members say they like the idea. Pence hopes it'll gain some traction before summer.
The formalization of a tax increment financing district in downtown Moorhead is now a step closer. City Council Monday night passed on a first reading of an ordinance that creates the regulations and financial incentives for a TIF. It's expected to get final approval next month. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says officials have been patiently working on the measure for the past several months in order to make sure everything is done the right way.
We've worked with a great group, Commonwealth, out of Lexington, and they're tremendous to work with, where you're going right by the model. They've probably worked on 90% of the TIFs in the state, so we feel like we've got a great plan. We've got a good group in place, and now we're just going to have to go out and let people know about it and make it aware that we're open for business come downtown.
A joint Moorhead Rowan County Board, headed up by local businessman Dan Markwell, is being set up to oversee the TIF district. TIFs offer city, county, and tax incentives to developers if they agree to build in a designated section of a municipality. If the Rowan Fiscal Court is also expected to pass a TIF district proposal over the next couple months.
The mayor of Inez for the past decade has resigned, according to WYMT. Terry Fraley submitted his resignation to city commissioners Monday night. Fraley reportedly stepped down because of professional and personal commitments. Inez commissioners plan to call a special meeting later this month to discuss the vacancy. They intend to appoint a new mayor at their next regular meeting on April 10th.
President Trump's Monday visit to Kentucky was no sooner announced than plans to protest the rally began. Ed Huckleberry reports.
President Trump will likely see thousands of supporters, but should also expect to see large groups of protesters. One of the groups protesting will be Indivisible Kentucky, with a focus on the GOP health care plan.
One of the big issues today is health care, because that affects so many Kentuckians and so many Americans. But we do have other issues that we're concerned with.
Indivisible Kentucky's Chris Rousey says formal plans are still in the works for the president's visit. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
A bill intended to help Kentuckians stop smoking is on its way to Governor Bevin's desk. Lawmakers today gave final approval to the measure that removes barriers for smoking cessation programs. State Representative Kimberly Moser supported the bill.
Senate Bill 89 is important so that Kentuckians are provided a barrier-free access to proven smoking cessation treatments. Without these comprehensive treatments, more lives will be lost and more money will be spent on something that we can prevent right now.
The law requires insurance and Medicaid coverage for those programs and treatments.
St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead is hosting its annual foot health event on April 3rd. Its purpose will be to raise awareness about common foot-related health issues. Rebecca Montgomery is a spokeswoman for the SCR, Family Medical Supply.
So we will have our podiatrist, Dr. Clarence Clayton, to come out, and his podorthist, Tracy McCarty, here to talk to people about healthy feet and try to make them more aware of things that we at FMS can do to contribute to healthy feet.
In addition to offering foot care tips, free fittings for ankle devices, and footwear will also be available. The free foot health event will be held at St. Clair Regional Family Medical Supply in the Kroger Shopping Center in Moorhead from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, contact 606-784-2414. Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy later on after midnight. A few flurries or snow showers are possible. Those should be around 17 degrees. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high of 36 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, low of 19 degrees. On Thursday, sunny skies, high of 43 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, early will give way to low clouds and freezing drizzle after midnight, low of around 30 degrees. On Friday, a few showers early, becoming steady rain later in the day. High of 51 degrees, chance of rain will be at 80%. And on Friday night, rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers late. Low of 44 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. Right now, it's 30 degrees in Ashland, and Flemingsburg it's 29 degrees. 29 degrees in Inez, in Lexington it's 33 degrees. 32 degrees in Winchester, and it's 30 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from retired Moorhead physician Dr. Ewell Scott. He invites us all to take a ride.
18-wheelers and Buick Enclaves. Let us explore this metaphor to better understand the advantages of Medicare for All as the sole provider of health insurance financing. Note the key word is financing, not care. Let's assume we need to travel to Louisville every day to purchase groceries. And you have two choices of transportation. The first is to purchase an 18-wheeler, learn how to drive it, and then drive over to Louisville to pick up your groceries. The second option is your brand new Larry Fannin Buick Enclave, including a chauffeur. The groceries you purchase will be exactly the same, no matter how you get to the supermarket, although parking may be a little more difficult with the truck. It takes very little wisdom to make the right pick, unless you just want to ride in an 18-wheeler. I would choose the Buick. Now here's the important part. Replace multiple private health insurance companies for the truck and Medicare for All for the Enclave and healthcare for your groceries in the metaphorical scenario. What do you choose then? Your healthcare providers will be exactly the same, but the cost will be lower with Medicare for All. How could this possibly be true? Well, there are two very good reasons. First, Medicare has the ability to control costs, and Medicare can process your claims much more efficiently as well as collect your premiums. At the same time, the premiums go down rather than up. Remember, Medicare's overhead is 3%, while private, for-profit healthcare companies usually take 30% off of the top. Good grief. We here in the USA are wasting $600 billion every year by persisting in our ways of reliance on private health care insurance companies. This is a big lot of loot, especially when you consider our entire Kentucky state budget is about $9 billion. I ask anyone listening to this to give me a good reason to continue engaging in this insanity.
Dr. Ewell Scott is a fellow with the American College of Physicians and a healthcare reform activist. It is 4:49. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right now.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The field for the 64-team 2017 WNIT tournament has been announced. 21-9 Morehead State hits the road Thursday night at 9:30 for its first-round game. The Eagles travel to Middle Tennessee. Coach Greg Todd says there are a lot of good teams in the tournament.
Very strong competition, 1 through 64, and outside of being extremely excited about the event, we got to know we've got a very tough opponent in our first round game in Middle Tennessee.
The Lady Raiders of Middle are 21-10 this season. The search for the next men's basketball coach at Morehead State is expected to be completed this week. The committee charged with finalizing that task has been conducting off-campus interviews. Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson has said there would be 7 to 10 of those, with the finalists picked from that group.
Probably no more than 2 to campus. If it's 3, it's 3, but I would hope that we're not bringing any more than 2.
Among the rumored finalists for the MSU job are current interim coach Preston Spradlin, UPike head coach Kelly Wells, Lincoln Memorial bench boss Josh Schertz, and Hargraves Military Academy coach A.W. Hamilton. A judge in Vandenberg County, Indiana, has diverted the misdemeanor battery case involving former Morehead State men's basketball coach Sean Woods. WKYT reports the judge ordered a 6-month diversion program for Woods, and if he avoids any further problems during those 6 months, the charges will be dropped. Woods was also ordered to pay over $1,000 in court costs. Woods was accused last December by former Eagle players Malik Maitland and Sophie Diakiti of getting physical with them in the locker room during MSU's game at Evansville. Fifth-ranked Kentucky is getting ready for its battle with Northern Kentucky in first-round play of the South Region in the NCAA tournament. Senior forward Derek Willis says it's important that the 29-4 Wildcats have the right mindset during the postseason.
Just kind of have a sense of urgency. You have to be desperate. And, it's last time, playing college basketball. You don't want to leave it all on the court. And I think the thing with just rebound, though, is just kind of being more aware of where the ball is going to come off in the rim and stuff. So it's really like positioning and then, just making contact with the guy and going up and getting the ball. So, that's really about it, though.
Kentucky's Friday game against NKU tips off at 9:40. As for Louisville, the Cardinals will face Jacksonville State at 2:45 on Friday in Indianapolis as part of the Midwest region. Coach Rick Pitino says he's trying to make it business as usual for his 24-8 Cardinals.
The only difference is we have more meetings, more media obligations. Outside of that, it's all the same prep. You don't want to get the players nervous by changing things. I try to relax more and let them know this is the fun time of their life, and so we don't get too bent out of shape. But our team knows we're playing a very dangerous opponent right now.
This will be the first ever NCAA tournament for the OVC champion Gamecocks of Jacksonville State. 16th region champions Elliott County are preparing for battle with Collins in the first round of the Boys State Tournament on Thursday. This is Elliott's third straight trip to Rupp Arena for the Sweet 16, but they are winless in their first two appearances. However, head coach Greg Atkins thinks this could be the year his team makes a run in the tournament.
The last 2 years we've matched up with Bowling Green the first round. I thought last year we closed a lot of ground on them, had a single-digit game going into the fourth. To one of the better teams in the state. Bowling Green is a very tough matchup. Collins is going to be a tough matchup. And when you get to this point in the season, there's 16 teams left in the state. Everybody's pretty good. Everybody's there because they're good. We just got to take it one at a time and dial in Thursday for 32 minutes. Do our best to be playing on Friday.
Thursday's game tips off at 6:30. The Cincinnati Reds are keeping their fingers crossed that Devin Mesoraco will be with them when the regular season starts in a few weeks. Hip and shoulder surgeries have limited the former All-Star to just 39 games over the past 2 years. Mesoraco caught a couple of innings Sunday in his spring debut, also grounding out in his only plate appearance.
Health-wise, I feel great. I think my heart was beating a little faster than normal today, just getting out there for first time in a while, but just keep working and get back out there and hopefully, get back to where I was.
The Reds will have Tucker Barnhart in case Mesoraco isn't ready to start the season on time. Barnhart could be backed up by either Rule 5 pickup Stuart Turner or non-roster spring invitee Rob Brantley. Due to weather in the area, the Morehead State softball team's doubleheader with Dayton scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled. No makeup date has been set. The softball Eagles are scheduled to host the Morehead State tournament this weekend with games against Oakland and Akron. And finally, in sports, some notes from around the NFL. Former Packer running back Eddie Lacy has agreed to a 1-year, $5.5 million contract with the Seattle Seahawks. 12-time Pro Bowl defensive end DeMarcus Ware has told the Denver Broncos that he is retiring. And Buffalo Bill quarterback Tyrod Taylor will take a $10 million pay cut as part of a restructured contract he signed with the Bills last week to avoid being released by them. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSBR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball will play two games on Saturday, hosting Akron at 11 a.m. and Oakland at 1 p.m. Softball will close their series with Oakland on Sunday with two games at noon and 2 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed slightly lower ahead of a likely interest rate hike as energy stocks fell, and the Dow did finish with a loss of 44.11 at 20,837.37. The S&P 500 was down 8.02 at 2365.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.97 at 5856.82. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil prices briefly fell 2% to hit a fresh three-month low after OPEC said oil inventories had continued to rise, and Saudi Arabia surprisingly self-reported a jump in production. Despite the start of a global deal to cut supply, U.S. crude futures for April delivery settled 68 cents lower at $47.72 a barrel. Energy was the worst S&P 500 sector, falling more than 1%, and the Energy Spider ETF hit its lowest level since November the 7th. Chevron also had the greatest negative impact on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Federal Open Market Committee kicked off its two-day meeting and is expected to announce a rate increase at the meeting's Wednesday afternoon conclusion, and the benchmark 10-year Treasury finished with a yield of 2.6%, slightly lower on the day, and it did, of course, yesterday finish at its highest level since September 2014 in anticipation of the Fed rate hike. In economic news, the producer price index rose 0.3% last month. In the 12 months through February, the PPI jumped 2.2%, the biggest yearly advance since March 2012, and this was ahead of the 2% gain that was forecast in earlier polls. Overseas, the stocks Europe 600 declined 0.3%. The Shanghai Composite eked out a roughly 2-point gain, while the Nikkei 225 fell about 0.8%. And gold futures for April delivery settled 50 cents lower at $1,202.60 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and Nike. The worst performers were Chevron and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Western Union and Motorola, and the worst performers were Frontier Communications and United Continental. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 12 cents at 121.88, CSX down 25 cents at 47.83, Marathon Petroleum down 97 cents at 50.02, AEP down 2 cents at 65.79, AK Steel up 6 cents at 7.95, and U.S. Bancorp was up 8 cents to finish at 55. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, cloudy skies early, then becoming partly cloudy after midnight. A few flurries or snow showers are possible. Lows should be around 17 degrees. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high of around 36 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, low of 19. On Thursday, sunny skies, high of 43 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear skies early, will give way to clouds and freezing drizzle after midnight. Lows of around 30 degrees. On Friday, a few showers early, then becoming steady light rain later in the day. High of 51 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. And on Friday night, rain early, then becoming cloudy with showers later on. Lows of around 44 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. Right now, it's 30 degrees in Ashland, 29 degrees in Flemingsburg. In Inez, it's 29 degrees. Lexington is 32 degrees. Winchester is 32 degrees. And it's 30 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. Our commentator this afternoon was Morehead physician Dr. Yule Scott. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.